Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today. Take a look at St. Paul's letter to the Romans. The church gives us at Mass today a reading from chapter 12. If you haven't had a chance to follow our shows over the last week and a half, we've been looking at the letter to the Romans, which is a powerful and rich and inspiring letter from St. Paul, and a little difficult to understand now and then. But we try to take a look at the passages in particular that the church has given us each day at Mass. If you haven't heard the programs, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them. Listen to them on whatever device you download them to. And one of the simplest things you could do also is download our app. With that app, you have complete access to everything that we're doing in Renewal Ministries. That's on our website, all the products we produce, the free articles, newsletters, television programs, radio shows, and the like you can access at any point. Romans chapter 12. Now, Paul shifts a little bit in this section. He's talking about God's plan, the new way of life that the people of God have come into, that being baptized into Christ, we become a new creation. In baptism, we're given the gift and power of the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit can be easily overlooked in our lives, but the Holy Spirit is at the center of everything in the church. There is no church without the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no new creation for any of us, each of us personally or anywhere, without the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. The incarnation, that is Jesus becoming one of us, leaving his place at the right hand of the Father and taking on human flesh, he unites heaven and earth in his own person. God's plan of salvation reaches its apex in Jesus entering into creation itself and elevating it. And the Spirit of the Lord was on Jesus. The Spirit of God is in Jesus, is with Jesus. And Jesus died in part to make it possible for us to be able to receive the Holy Spirit and to walk by the Spirit, to be empowered to fulfill the destiny that we're called, to become children of God. It unites us to God the Father. The Holy Spirit reveals to us the person and the Lordship of Jesus, makes it possible for us to believe. The Holy Spirit is the source of the faith, our capacity to grasp the gift of salvation. And then that same Holy Spirit enables us to then walk in the power, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, a power that gives us a new capacity to live a new way of life and to live the life of the commandments, to walk in love, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's the reason for which we were made, was to do those very things, right? And so the Spirit of God dwelling in us, St. Paul says, is in a temple. We're like a temple of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said that he must return to the Father so that he could, from that place of authority at the right hand of the Father, pour out his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit dwells in all those who are baptized into Jesus. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us see Jesus, believe in Jesus, to walk in him. And it's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand that through Christ, we have become children of God, and that God's our Father. And the Holy Spirit begins to teach us and to tenderize our hearts to make it possible for us to grasp and believe and to experience and to walk in the reality that God, who is love, is also our Father. The God, the source and origin of all things, is a person, and he's like a loving Father. He's much, much more than that. But he is to us the source of our life, and it's from the Father, from the heart of the Father, that the work of salvation began. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. It's from the heart of a loving Father that the Son is sent, that the Spirit is sent, and that the church is born, that humanity has a place to become part of the family of God, a place which we can be saved and live and to walk in God's plan and purpose. So Paul, in this chapter 12, he begins to talk about the reality of, first, some of the gifts that we've been given in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips the church, equips the saints for ministry, gives us powers that come from God to do things that on our own we couldn't do. We can't build the kingdom just by our own fleshly will and desire. The kingdom of God is built by the Lord himself through his people, yielded to him, living in him, and walking in the Holy Spirit. So Let's take a look at what Paul has to say here. He said, verse 5 in chapter 12, he says, "Brothers and sisters, we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually parts of one another." There's a radical reality to see what is the Father's plan about? What is at the heart of the mystery of God's plan? That through Christ, through the person of Jesus, in his life, passion, death, resurrection, ascension, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God the Father is creating one body. The analogy is a human body with different parts. One new man, one body. Christ is the head of this body. And he's gathering a people united around himself, and he's empowering us to desire what he desired, to live the way he lived, to focus and prioritize what Jesus prioritized, what Jesus radically loved. We're learning how to radically love and to walk in. It's such a beautiful reality. This is who the body of Christ is. And each one of us, though many and different, we're united, right? Individually, parts of one another, Romans tells us. "Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us," Paul said, "let us exercise them." And now he lists here some of the gifts that he's referring to. This is one place in the New Testament where the gifts are described, but not the only place. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 are also places where Paul lists some of the charisms. They're called spiritual gifts. He said, "So let us exercise them. If prophecy, in proportion to faith. In ministering, if one is a teacher, in teaching. If one exhorts, in exhortation. If one contributes, in generosity. If one is over others, with diligence. If one does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness." These gifts and callings that God has given to us, he's made some prophets, he's called all of us to minister, he's appointed some as teachers, he's given some gifts of exhortation to move the body, he's given some a special ability to contribute to financial giving. We're all called to give financially, to tithe and to give alms, but some have a particular capacity and calling to give liberally. With generosity, saying here, we're all meant to do it, to offer from our financial wealth and our resources, to offer generously from it to those who are in need. If one is over others, that is leaders, bishops, priests, other people who have responsibility in the body of Christ, are meant to exercise that authority with great diligence. And if one does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. So these are gifts Paul describes. He's exhorting us. He's reminding us that we're called to use those gifts for the upbuilding of the body. It's important for us, even on a day like today, first thing in the morning, to ask yourself, do you know the spiritual gifts that the Lord has given you? Scripture is clear. To each one of us has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one of us has been given a gift of the Holy Spirit. Where did they come from? In our baptism, when we were baptized into Christ and confirmed, we're given spiritual gifts to make our contribution as a part of the body to the whole of the body. It's important that the people of God recognize what spiritual gifts they have so they can make that contribution toward the upbuilding and the health of the body of Christ, so the body of Christ can be salt and light in the world. We can be what we're meant to be. For many of the baptized, the recent popes have reminded us, the reality of the spiritual gifts we've been given, you might say, lie dormant, in the words of Pope Paul VI. Undiscovered, unused, asleep still, need to be awakened. So let's use this passage this morning from St. Paul as a kind of stirring to begin to ask the Lord, if you don't know, Lord, what spiritual gifts have you given me? There's lots of good information on the internet about spiritual gifts that comment and help us understand the teaching of the New Testament. I wrote a little booklet called Welcome the Spiritual Gifts that you can get on our website. It's a summary of what the Scripture and the Church teach about the spiritual gifts, what they are, how they're given, how we're meant to exercise them. So Paul goes on here in the reading, and then he talks about the life we're called to live. Since we're a new creation in Christ, since we have a new power and a new capacity to live a new way of life, what is that new way of life? What does it look like? Paul describes in this way. He said, "Let love be sincere." First of all, like, love one another sincerely from the heart. That's not so easy to do. We're meant to love God and to love our neighbor. And here's Paul's talking in particular about loving the brethren, loving one another. That means willing the good of the other as other, saying yes to the affirmation, that is, of the good of that person and desire for them all that God desires for them, to act toward them in kindness and compassion, with mercy and with tenderness. The Lord helps us do that because that doesn't come to our fallen nature naturally. It's very difficult for us to simply forget ourselves and to offer ourselves in love to others around us. But this is what Jesus is transforming in us. He's bringing us into that reality. He then goes on to say, hate what is evil and hold on to what is good. That's a very important exhortation. God hates sin, and God hates evil. It's healthy and right to exercise that kind of, as the scripture's talking about here, hate against evil. Said, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with sin. I want to say yes to the Lord when he offers us forgiveness of sins and his grace and help so that we can come out of habit patterns of sin. I don't want to play with sin. I don't want to affirm it in my own life. I don't want to affirm it in other people. I don't want to rationalize it. I don't want to make excuses for it because it's wicked. It's what kills me, and it's deeply offensive to God. And so I want to say yes and stand against all evil in my life, in my personal life, in that whole, wherever the Lord has deployed me in the world where I'm living, I want to stand against evil every chance I get. And then he says, but hold on to what is good, the things God has given to us, the things that we know are good. Hold on to those and don't let the enemy steal them from us. He said, love one another with mutual affection. Again, really, it's from the heart. 1 Corinthians 13 said, love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous, love is not arrogant, it's not rude. Right? It believes all things, hopes all things, and it endures all things. So from the heart, with deep affection, let's will the good of each person that God has brought into our life, beginning in our marriages if you're married, family, friends, relatives. Sometimes those are the hardest people for us to love, and it's hard for them to love us. But we're meant to be a people of God who know that we have a power, that is the power of the Holy Spirit poured into our hearts, which is the love of God, to help us to begin to live as Jesus has called us to live. Really, because in the end, friends, when we stand before the Lord, he's not going to ask us, like, how big was your house? How much money did you make? How successful was your career? He's going to say, did you love? Did you learn to love? Did you walk in love? Did you yield to the Holy Spirit who came to subdue your ego and to help you become God-centered and other-centered? He said, anticipate one another in showing honor. Do not grow slack in zeal, but be fervent in spirit and serve the Lord. That's a real good exhortation for our time. It's easy to fall asleep. In fact, our culture is set up, the consumerist culture that we have is really set on distracting us and comforting us and really getting us to take our focus off what's most important and live for secondary and tertiary things. And here Paul's reminding us, don't grow slack in zeal, but be fervent always, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, endure in affliction, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the holy ones, exercise hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, just like Jesus said, right? He's just talking about how to live like Jesus here. Have the same regard for one another and do not be haughty, that's proud or arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Here's what we're called to walk in, friends, in the power of the Spirit. Let's help each other do that. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.